2 Kings chapter 6. Lagos Sopradish Tabahata. Lendo Soporo Sopradish Tabrahande. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lagos Sopradish Tabahata. 2 Kings chapter 6. Are you there? We read from verse 8. And I'm speaking on our invisible army. Part 3, and that should be the last. Our invisible army, 2 Kings chapter 6, from verse 8, it says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. He called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, my lord, O king. He said, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of a young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we read verse 1. It says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So basically, I'm trying to wrap this up today. I've been speaking on our invisible army. And, okay, I don't know, you know, people question in their mind, why do those things happen? Why are people falling? John chapter 2, verse 11, why did Jesus turn water into wine? Why did he do so? The Bible says this beginning of miracles he did, a beginning of signs, not even, it says this beginning of signs he did, that he might show forth the glory of God. That is the fullness of God. Amen. So sometimes you ask yourself, could they not have done without wine? Absolutely. Hallelujah. But that they had extra wine at the party was good. Amen. And it was to show the glory of God. Amen. He said, and many believed upon him. Hallelujah. Okay, so without spending too much there, are you still here? Basically, so we've been talking for a while about our invisible army. So as we read in our main text, there was a clash. They came looking for Elisha was revealing the secrets of the opposing army. Whenever they had a strategy, Elisha knew the strategy supernaturally and told the king of Israel what the strategy of the opposing army was. What was available to Elisha in the old covenant as a prophet is available to all of us now under the new covenant as children of God. Can I have an amen? Because the Bible tells us clearly that in John chapter 16, verse 13, it said, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will guide us into all truth, and he will show you even things that are yet to come. So there are many, 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 many privileges that we have under the new covenant, what Elisha, I mean, I don't want to start teaching entirely on the gifts of the Spirit, but he operated the gifts of the Spirit. That's what we saw. He operated the gifts of the Spirit. However, beyond that, the intention of the teaching is to say they saw an army that came to arrest him, and his servant was afraid. But Elisha said, hey, the army we have is more than the army that has come against us. The city is surrounded by an opposing army. However, we have an army that is more than these guys are. And he said, when the servant was afraid, he said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. The intention of the teaching is not so that we see things, as it were, but we start looking to see things, but that we are aware of the fact that even when we don't see them, they exist. Can I have an amen? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's where it's relevant. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us, he said, look, concerning spiritual gifts, but if you have a good old King James version, you'll find that the word gifts is italicized. So that means that the translators added the word gifts there in order to improve the meaning. It was not in the original script. So what the original script said was concerning spirituals. Or if you wish, again, I can add my own word and say concerning spiritual matters. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. So the Bible does not expect us to be ignorant, ignorant of spiritual things, and that includes the things that we cannot see, such as the army that is backing us up. Hallelujah. We don't need to see them, but we need to know that they are there. Are you still with me? So there are many great privileges. And why? Because once you know, what you know is what you can take advantage of. What you don't know, you cannot take advantage of it. It doesn't matter. There are people, in fact, historically, there are people who have had inheritances that they did not know about. They had money that was put in their account or money that was willed to them, but they did not even know because they had left home or they were far away. Nobody knew where they were, but in the will, they had a fortune and they lived in poverty. Are you still with me? And for many believers, it is almost the same scenario, is that there are many privileges, there are many things we have, but we do not know. And therefore, we do not take advantage, or we cannot take advantage of what we do not know about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, I told the story before, being in the U.S., gone for a meeting, and my boss was with me, and then the people who are hosting us put us in a hotel and all of that. And then when we would wake up in the morning, you know, I mean, you're hungry, you go and eat and all that. Then we went to the meeting and we're asking my boss, we didn't see you at breakfast. Oh, he said, no, I don't eat breakfast. I don't take breakfast. I don't like breakfast and all of that. We had limited money with us. But then we then said to him, we said, oh, but breakfast is included in the room rate. So, I mean, breakfast is free, so to speak. And then the next morning, he was at breakfast. Amen. Suddenly, the next morning and every morning till we left, he was at breakfast. The person that doesn't eat breakfast suddenly was eating breakfast because now he knew what he did not know before, which is that the breakfast was free. Are you with me? What you do not know, you can't take advantage of. You have to know the spiritual gifts and the spiritual inheritance that we have. He says that they that are with us are more than they that are against us. Hallelujah. And we have said many things in the past. We have spoken and we discussed the fact that these angels are many. That's why we call it our invisible army. They are strong, amen. They are capable of fighting and acting on our behalf. But more than that, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1. More than that, I think the real scripture, if you like, call it a memory verse, that I want us all to know and remember and keep in mind all the days of our lives, is Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible was speaking here in context. If you go back at home and you read, I don't have much time this morning anymore, but if you go back or even listen to the previous messages, you'll discover that the context of this is that he's talking about angels. And then he concluded it in verse 14, and he said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for, not to, but for? For means that they do things on our behalf.
It also includes two. So four, as I mean, in grammar, four is bigger. Hallelujah. So it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will be, those who will inherit salvation? So they are there to act on our behalf. What I want you also to remember and to get here is the fact that it does not quite limit them to one or two things. Yes, there are oftentimes some things that we are more familiar about. So one of the first things that I spoke about, I will speak about three things basically, that they do, but they do more than that. Hallelujah. But then I'm saying that these are three clear things that you will tend to experience angelic intervention in. And I said the first one is protection. Amen. Protection. People are worried, people are concerned about, you know, their safety these days. But one of the things you will have to do is also sit on God's word. We have to start taking God's word like it's true. Are you with me? We have to start acting like it's true. We have to start spending time in it enough that we meditate upon it until it becomes real to us, more real to us than every other thing that we see or encounter in life. Hallelujah. You know, about a year ago, January last year, I was at the dentist. And, you know, when the guy was doing scaling and polishing, I tend to go in once or twice a year. So he was doing the scaling and polishing. Then he looked, he said, ah, you have a hole in your tooth. So I said, really? I said, where? So he was pointing, he said, well, it's on this side, this left side, you have a hole there. I said, I'm going to have to fill it. So I said, don't touch it. He said, no. I said, no, I have an issue with my tooth. I said, that bothers me. I said, and that's the one I want you to touch, but not that hole. I said, what I really want is up here somewhere, food tends to get, you know, stuck there. So he looked at that, he says, no, it looks like the bone has kind of, you know, chipped away a little bit. He said, there's nothing much I can do about that one right now. He said, but this hole that is in this tooth here below, he said, I have to fill it. I said, no, leave the tooth alone. So you guys said, but you know, it's going to, the thing, you know, I mean, don't let's expose you. But if you know about tooths and tooth fillings and holes in tooth and all of that. So you guys said, oh, it's going to start paining you and all that. I said, don't say that. I said, leave it alone. It's going to cover up. I said, some time ago, I actually went, they said there was one on this side. I'd never had holes before. I said, and the person, another dentist, you know, saw one on this. I said, oh, I saw a hole. You've had a hole before, but it got sealed. It got arrested and stopped by itself. I said, so leave this one alone. It's going to stop and be arrested by itself. I said, leave it alone. I said, you see, the moment you start feeling, everybody I know you've been feeling their teeth, they keep coming back to you. I said, they keep having issues and they keep coming back. I said, so leave it alone. I'm not telling you that's what you should do. Are you there? But there are things that I stand on. Okay? So I was thinking to myself, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans chapter 8 verse 11, is in me, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to my mortal body. Another one says, will give life and vitality to my whole being. So when I wake up in the morning, I tell myself the Holy Ghost is giving life and vitality to my whole being, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Now that there's a target, I say it's walking on my tooth. It's walking on my tooth. The tooth is filling up in the name of Jesus. So I told the guy, I said, leave it. I said, don't touch it. It's going to be arrested like the other one that happened before. So he said, look, I'm warning you. You know, this thing can get really bad and then you'll be in serious pain. I said, let's just have a deal. If that happens, I will come back. I said, but it's not going to happen. I said, but if it happens, I will come. I promise you, I will come here myself. You don't need a point. I will show up myself. If I start feeling extra pain, I'll be here. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that we need to start acting like God's word is true. Are you still there? So I went back. I mean, I didn't go all through last year. And then I went this year. So this year, I just went, actually this week. And, you know, I just said, scaling and polishing. So the guy, looked, I said, you were supposed to have come back, you know, since and all that for, you know, your appointment. And I said, I didn't have any appointment with you. But normally I would have come. I said, but because of the COVID and all that, so I didn't bother to come. And then he, you know, checked everything. I said, what about that hole you talked about? He said, well, it's kind of covered up. I said, but I told you that's what will happen. He said, I expect that. I said, no, I told you. that it's going to cover up, but that if he didn't and I had pain, I will come. I said, so I did not come. I expected to cover up. You know, I found that the guy was almost dodging. He didn't want to tell me that he saw that the thing was being covered up. Are you still there? So you need to act like God's word is true. You need to act like what he says. He says, are they not all, every single one of them ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who shall inherit salvation? It means that just like Elisha could say, you can say the same thing. You are never alone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are never alone. There are angels around you. They are walking on your behalf. Are you still there? In Job chapter 1, Job 1 verse 9, I mean, the devil was talking to Job. And the devil said, I mean, God at first bragged. God bragged about Job and said, look, Job is my servant, he's upright, he's a fantastic guy and all that. And then the devil said, look, that's expected. He said, does Job serve God for nothing? Does Job serve God for nothing? I think we need to start re-emphasizing that your walk with God is not for nothing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, your walk with God, your fellowship with God, your service of God is not for nothing. Even the devil knows it. Are you still there? Even the devil knows that it's not for nothing. So this was now the devil reporting and saying, does Job serve God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him? A hedge means, have you not made a wall around him? What is that wall? Angels. Have you not put a wall around him? Is there not a wall around his household? Is there not a wall around everything that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions increase in the land. So even the biggest enemy that we are afraid of knows that he ought to be afraid of us because we have our own defenses. Are you still there? I said, are you there? You should expect that if trouble is coming your way, if push comes to shove, you should expect things to turn dramatically. Inexplainably. There ought to be things around us that are difficult to explain sometimes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not saying, like I said before, I keep repeating it, I'm not talking about seeing anything. You don't need to see anything, you just need to know. Are you still there? Job was speaking in Job chapter 23 and verse 8. He said, look, when I go forward, I don't see him. When I go backwards, I don't perceive him. He said, if I look on my left, he's not there. To my right, I can't tell that he's there. He said, but he knows the way that I take. He said, I can't perceive God. I look everywhere. I can't perceive God. However, he's there. So my inability to see, my inability to perceive makes no difference. The word is the word. What the word says is correct at all times. And what the word says is that there are ministering spirits who are sent forth to minister on my behalf. Are you there? So number one, they protect me. We saw that in Psalm 91. We saw that in Psalm 34. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamps. I like that one very much. You can tell by now. The angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him. Hallelujah. And deliver him. You know, Psalm 91, when he says that, you know, he gets up to about verse 9 and he's talking about angels. He says he'll give his angels charge over you to deliver you in all your ways, to keep you in all your ways. And then by the time he reaches the end, what's he saying? He's saying, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The word salvation, there's no salvation of your souls. He's talking about salvation in every ramification, including deliverance, including protection. He said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It means that whatever it takes, that's what God is saying. That whatever it takes, I will deliver you and grant you long life. Yeah, I did a teaching some years ago on how to die. You know, and I remember I was saying that if you're in Nigeria, they say the life expectancy is under 50, generally speaking. Over is around 50. You are 50 to 54, 55. Okay? That's the life expectancy, meaning that when a baby is born, that's how long we expect he will live at the most. But that is not with consideration to God's word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's word says with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Showing my salvation means that no matter what it is, in the perils of armed robber, in the perils of SARS, in the perils... Are you still there? In the perils of cultism, in the perils of ritual killer, in the perils of whatever it takes, including your army of angels. Hallelujah. God said he would deliver you. And the Bible declares to us clearly that these are not weaklings we're dealing with. Have you ever seen those pictures, some of those pictures they draw of angels that are like babies with wings? Have you ever seen that before? Those baby, you haven't seen them before. You've seen the baby ones with wings, and then the angels are like that, and they are beside the baby, and they're keeping him alive. There are no baby angels. Can I have an amen? Amen. Psalm 103 talks about it, and he says, hey, praise the Lord, ye angels who excel in strength. So these are big guys. These are strong guys. I think it's Isaiah 36 where Israel was fighting against Assyria. The Bible says God promised. King Hezekiah prayed to God, and God said, don't worry, I'll take care of Assyria for you. And the Bible says an angel, just one angel of the Lord, went into the camp of the Assyrians and killed in one night 185,000 soldiers. 185,000 were dead in one night because one angel went on riot. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those, for you, who shall inherit salvation? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the only reason why we're afraid is because we have not spent enough time in God's word to reconvince ourselves of what we have. Are you there? So listen to that. I think you also find that story in 2 Kings 19. Okay. Number two, guidance. So the leading. One of the most crucial things for a believer is to be led. Thank God, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 tells us, I believe the biggest advantage we have as children of God is the fact that we have a Holy Ghost in us. Jesus spoke about that, and he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter, the Holy Ghost, who has been with you but will now be in you. Wow. But additional to that is the fact that it's also part of the ministry of angels to help in guidance. Hallelujah. Go to Luke chapter 1. So many times, you know what? One of the things I tell myself based on the scriptures is that whatever it takes, as long as you are sincere with God, in your walk with God, God will direct your path. God will direct your path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I think that's Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down. Why? Because God will ensure that whatever he takes, he directs your path. You just have to believe it. And maybe when we do a teaching on that, but the primary way, I've said that before, the primary way by which the Holy Ghost or God will lead us is by the inward witness, which is the Holy Ghost within us, leading us by our spirit. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward part of the belly. So the Holy Ghost within you, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The Holy Ghost within you will shine the light of God upon your spirit, and you will have illumination about what to do. However, whatever it takes, even seemingly when you are dull of hearing, God will do whatever it takes to get his direction
to you, including the ministry of angels. Are you there? I said Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, maybe we shouldn't even open to Luke chapter 1 because those are obvious references. In Luke chapter 1, we have an encounter of Zacharias. Okay, Zacharias had an encounter there, and an angel appeared to him. He had gone into the temple to minister to the Lord. An angel appeared to him and said, Zachariah. He said, your prayer has been heard. Am I right? I see some of you looking in the Bible. It says, your prayer has been heard. I'm told the original Greek actually says, the prayer you are no longer praying has been heard. So he took a spectacular appearance of an angel to get across to the prophet or the priest Zachariah, because he had given up on the matter. So God sent an angel to give direction. Next thing, the angel went to Mary also, appeared to her, because again, this was way beyond normal. And God had to do what he had to do in order to get across to them and say, this is what is going to happen. I've never seen, you know, an angel physically, and I've never seen one. But I've seen interventions that I've thought about, and I've looked and I've tried to decipher, and it can only be that an angel was on the scene. Are you still there? Exodus chapter 3. Let me show you something. Those are the ones I think you should look at. Exodus chapter 3. That will explain what I'm saying to you better. Exodus 3. This is about Moses at the burning bush. Okay, so you can have actual appearances of angels. In fact, when Joseph was being led, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. Okay, I'm saying some of that in, I want you to get the fact that yes, angels, part of their ministry on our behalf is guidance. However, I'm also telling you that you don't have to see anything. So, appeared physically to Zachariah and Mary, angel Gabriel. But Joseph saw in a dream. So for him, he was sleeping and he saw in a dream an angel of the Lord telling him what to do. So it wasn't as if he saw anything while awake. Are you there? But it's up to God to determine. Are you still with me? However, it's up to us to believe that God will lead us whatever it takes, including the ministry of angels. Are you with me? The less obvious ways in which they get involved in the leading. Exodus chapter 3. Go down to, I think, verse 4. Is it verse 4? Yes, verse 4. Verse 2 first. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in what? A flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. What does that say to me? So when this guy was looking, what the angel did was catch his attention. He didn't quite see an angel. What he saw was a burning bush. He saw fire. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't see an angel. He didn't see a person. What he saw was fire. But that fire actually was an angel standing there. So when he looked there, what's this kind of fire? He looked and he saw, the thing is burning, but it's not burning. It was an angel, the Bible says, that was displaying that way in order to get his attention. I've said it before, I believe that, it's up to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says that the manifestation of the Spirit for everyone to profit with all, it says the operations of the gifts of the Spirit, which includes the design of Spirit, which is that whereby you can see into the Spirit, it says it's according to the will of God. Are you with me? But then, the angel here, I believe that many times when people will have spectacular experiences like that is because, especially under the new covenant, is because they were about to miss something. They were dull of perception. That's my personal belief. And God had to step in his mercy to do something. So just like he caught Moses' attention here, Moses had tried to obey God's will. He knew what God's will was. If I, when I teach in Bible school, I usually use Moses. I teach on the gifts and the calling of God. I use Moses and I ask people, the calling, you know, how do you know the calling? People think that this is when Moses was called. But no, this is not when Moses was called. Moses was called before now. If you read the New Testament, the Bible says that Moses taught that the people knew that he was called of God to deliver them. That's why he killed somebody when he was in Egypt.
He thought they, so he already knew what the will of God was. He just did not know how God wanted to do it. But then he stepped out prematurely, thinking that, oh, I see an Egyptian beating a Jew, I'll kill the Egyptian. So he did it then, and he was surprised that everybody in Israel, the Israelites did not know that that was God's calling on his own life. So when the next time he saw two Israelites fighting, and he said, hey, don't fight, don't kill you. How can you be fighting yourself? You are brothers. They said, you want to kill us like you killed the Egyptian. So they turned against him, and he thought, I thought these people knew that God sent me as a deliverer to them. Okay, so that's that. Maybe that's a level, but that's different. And then he ran out of Egypt. So at that point, he was dejected. Things were not working the way he thought. So he was dull of perception. He had given up on what that call was. He had gone to become a shepherd. And was just in the bush, enjoying himself, taking care of the cattle and all of that for 40 years. And then one day he saw a fire. And the bush was burning, but yet it was not burning. And the Bible says it was the angel of the Lord. Are you still there? If you read very well also in the book of Exodus, I think chapter 14, thereabout, if you read very well, when they came out of Egypt eventually, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord was behind the display. There was a pillar of fire. How many people know what I'm talking about? Some people might not. It's okay. You know, but when they came out of Egypt, out of slavery, and they were being led away by Moses, the Bible says that during the day, there will be a pillar of fire, you know, that was guiding them. And then during the day, it was a pillar of cloud, a cloud, okay? And at night, it was a pillar of fire. Just to save time. But if I showed you in the scriptures, the Bible says that an angel of the Lord was behind that display of guidance. Are you with me? I'm just saying to you that they are involved in guidance, but perhaps sometimes in less obvious ways. So one day years ago, I was coming to Lagos, going to the airport, and someone was driving. My father's driver was driving. I was sitting in front. There was a travel agent at the back, sitting behind the driver's seat. I was sitting in front, listening to music and enjoying myself. And as we went on the road, it was my songs. So I was the one playing the music, and I was just totally into the music. But as we went along the road, all of a sudden, I heard a little sound. It wasn't quite a bang, but it was a sound, you know, when you just hear a sound. And I heard the sound from the back tire where the other man sat at the back. I heard a sound from around that area. And for some reason, for whatever reason, that sound caught my attention. Moses saw the fire, caught his attention. When he turned to see why the bush was not burning, then God spoke. So I heard the sound and I stopped. I stopped the singing. I stopped everything I was doing. And I paid attention. Like, what was that sound? And the moment I stopped, the music was still playing, but I stopped singing. And I just paid attention. What was that sound? The moment I stopped, I heard, pray, the tire is going to burst. So I began to pray in other tongues. I would estimate that I had not prayed more than a minute before the tire busted, and it was the back tire where the man sat. The tire just busted, and then, you know, the driver, you know, brought it to a halt. Only God knows what would have happened, you know, otherwise. Only God knows. But then when that happened and we packed and they were going to change the tire, I asked the driver, did you hear the sound? He said, no, I didn't hear any sound. I asked the man who sat there, and I said, did you hear a sound come from that place? And he said, no, I didn't hear anything. But I was singing, I was singing my Takasufe gospel music. Me that I was singing and enjoying my music, and they that were not interested in my music didn't hear the sound, I heard a sound. Are you still there? Expect angelic interventions in guidance. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah, so that's Exodus 14 that I was talking about, the pillar of cloud. Exodus 14 verse 19, when you get home, check that out. Amen. They assist with provision. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. Let's read two scriptures quickly. Time is running. 1 Kings 19, is it? Are you there? Okay, read from verse 5. This is talking about Elijah. The Bible says, then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Who cooked the food? I don't know. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. This is after, this is where you see from verse 1, Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and then fasted and all that. After the encounter with the devil, you know, the Bible says he was hungry, of course, after fasting for 30 days. So verse 11, and when he was done with the devil, the Bible says, then the devil left him. And behold, take a good look, angels came and they ministered to him. The angels also work for our provision. Are you there? They also work for our provision. The late Kennedy again was teaching about finances. And he said he was asking God, how do I believe you for finances? He had been healed supernaturally on the bed of sickness as a teenager, haven't been bedridden for a number of months, giving up to die from several conditions. The doctors had told him there was no hope. If condition one doesn't kill you, two will kill you. If two doesn't kill you, three will kill you, but you will surely die. They had even begun to tell him to pick the songs that he once sang at his funeral. You know, as a teenager, they had told him, oh yeah, which song? You know, he said, when I think was that his grandmother that was asking him, and said, which songs, which hymns do you want us to sing? He said, you pick. It won't matter anyway, I won't be hearing it. He said, so you pick which ones you want to sing. They were asking him, you know, who do you want to carry your casket? Terrible questions. But he sat, he realized on the bed of sickness, Mark 11, 23, 24, believed God's word literally, and got up healed supernaturally. So healing was fine. He said, but he was asking God, how do you get finances? And God told him simple things. He said, you command the devil to take his hands off your money, and you release ministering spirits to go forth and cause the money to come. Are you still there? Because there are many things that will happen. There are people who might have been instructed. They are not doing it. There are all kinds of things that happen that we don't know about. Amen? That we have no clue about. You know, you can even imagine the story Pastor Bidio was telling about the Bible he got from Pastor NY and how he was believing God for a Bible, but somebody had bought a Bible the day before. And as he wants to write the name, God says, don't write. It's not yours. Are you still there? Some of those things are ministering spirits that just go for. So they know who has the resource that God wants you to have. You know, the first recording device we had in the fellowship then, Surpassing Grace Outreach, you remember it? we will just come and preach. You know, people will say, God has called us to do this and that, so we don't have equipment. You don't need. So we were having fellowship, and then one day I thought, God, it would be nice to have these things recorded so we can, you know, play the message again and listen and all of that. People want messages. So I was believing God for a recorder. Forget amplifier, forget all these things you're talking about. We had nothing like that. It's just something to catch the voice. You know, that's all. And that evening we had fellowship. And a friend of mine, you know, Tokwe, if you still remember him, walked in. His father walked outside the country. And I just sent him a tape recorder. The young people have no clue what that is. You know, like a Walkman. But it was recording capabilities. So he just got it that afternoon. Then he came to fellowship. He said when he was at the back there, as he came into fellowship, he sat down. He said, and he felt God speaking to him and said, that recorder is for the fellowship. I'm just saying to you that, provision is complex, isn't it? So after the service, he then told me, he said, there's something I'll bring next time I'm coming. He said, this is what happened. So I laughed. I laughed because I then told him, I said, I just believe in God for something to use to record. But God had already caused the thing to travel from overseas to your hands. And that same day, God brought you here and spoke to you. Are you there? So the angel came and picked. Again, I don't know, but if you want to experience the supernatural of God, except something violates the scriptures, you'll have to believe the incredible. Are you still with me? People say, if you just saw, God cannot just provide money. You know, if you just wake up, you just find money in your room. You just see a bundle of notes in your room. What number would be on them? You are too complex for me. You know, which bank serial number will it have if God just put money there? I don't know. Maybe God took it from somewhere that already had the original bank serial number. And I don't know. Are you getting what I'm saying? But all I know is that even at a time when Jesus walked the earth and needed to pay taxes, what he told Peter was, go and fish. And you find money in the mouth of a fish. God can do beyond what we can imagine. Are you still there? Very quickly, let's go to Psalm 103 so that I can end it. Psalm 103. So these angels minister on our behalf. They do many things. We've talked about protection. We've talked about guidance. We've talked about provision. Amen. But what really, really, really makes this work? And how can I maximize and benefit from the ministry of angels? The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word. So first, they do what God has promised in his word. Can I have an amen? They perform God's word. They perform whatever God has put in his word. That is their task. Make it come to pass. And how does that happen? He says they heed the voice of his word. So they need that word to be activated by words. Or activated in words. They need you to be speaking God's word. So the angels, I don't necessarily have to say, Angel Michael, Angel Gabriel, yeah, you go down to Ojota. Michael, you go to Bagada. I don't have to necessarily say that. But as long as I give voice to God's word, and I'm declaring what God's word says, my God shall supply all my needs. They just say, hey, let's make it happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As long as I'm declaring it and I'm saying, hey, my steps, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The angels say, hey, guys, let's make it happen. So they need to hear me say what God has said. I think it was Kenneth Copeland that said, God told him and said, God's word in your mouth is as good as God's word in his mouth. Hallelujah. God's word in your mouth is as good as God's word in his mouth. If you will give voice to his word. So again, that takes us all the way back to the importance of words. That we don't just say anything. We say what God's word has said. We must control our words. James chapter 1 and verse 26. He said, if anyone says that he's religious and does not bridle or control his tongue, he said his religion is in vain. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 14. He said, a man shall be satisfied with good from the produce of his lips. So we need to start learning how not just to not say the wrong things, but how to actually start saying God's word. Be declaring God's word. As you move around, say what God's word says about you. When a scripture comes to your mind, give voice to it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That's what the angels are waiting on. And for many people also, the angels are just standing. They are standing. They are standing waiting for them to talk. But they are not saying anything. And the angel said, "Ah, oh boy, he never talked since." Say, "No, he talk, no, he talk." But that's also nonsense if they talk. We've been waiting for confession. We don't hear anything now. Just so this is nonsense. Just they talk. We just they person know they walk. Put your angels on assignment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Put them on assignment. How do we do it? We give voice to God's word. Let's stand on our feet. So just that habit of speaking God's word deploys angels. That's their command. Those are their marching commands. Their marching commands is just to hear God's words being spoken. As you speak it, they run. They start moving. They move. To cause it to come to pass. Take a moment and just thank God for his word. Thank God for the ministry of angels. Thank God for your steps are ordered by the Lord. Thank God because there is a wall of protection around you. Thank God for divine provision. So when the scripture says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus," the angels are moving. They are moving to cause those needs to be met. Makala bashata la bosa, and also Fredishtaba.